If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays. And with me, as always, is Diz. Diz, how's it going, buddy?
Going great. We got a long weekend ahead of us. I took off work tomorrow. Absolutely juiced up. Ryder Cup. I hope we have some Ryder Cup talk. I'm sure we do. But I am absolutely buzzing right now.
Well, you know, Diz, if you would have looked at the episode notes, you would know that we do, in fact, have Ryder Cup talk today. But that's besides the point. Moving on, our new co-host, what we decided to be, how did Connor say this? He said it permanent.
Permanently or, temporary.
Yes. There you go.
Co-host.
There you go. Our guy Connor is here back with us again. So Connor, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. I'm excited for football to be back. It's a long stretch from Monday to Thursday, but it's finally here and I'm ready to start talking football.
You know, it's rough when, you know, you can't wait 2 or 3 days to have football come back. But that's okay. That's why we love you, Connor.
Exactly. I'm overwhelmed on Sunday, and then I'm like, there's not enough in the middle of the week.
If only they could spread that out over the week, Connor would be a happy camper.
Right.
Well, let's start off with the Ryder Cup here, Diz. So for those that don't know, the Ryder Cup is the U.S. versus Europe in a golf tournament. There are three different rounds, if I'm correct, Diz. You got alternate shot, you got best score, and then what was the other one, Diz?
Singles on Sunday.
What's the middle one? I knew the singles. What's the other one besides alternate shot?
There's best ball, which essentially is best score of the two. And then there's four ball.
Okay. So for those that are wondering, Europe has won 4 of the last 5. The U.S. team is led by Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and Patrick Cantlay, and they are heavy favorites at minus 210. So with that in mind, Diz, what's your best bets for this this tournament, since you're kind of more of our golf guy?
I think we stick to history here, and it's kind of an emotional hedge, but the value on Europe is truly insane. And I know United States is better on paper, but every Ryder Cup ever, United States is much better on paper, and we rarely win. I could not believe the number. I could not believe it. Europe, I think I got them at plus 215. I could be entirely wrong. I took them yesterday. Maybe different now, but getting more than 2-1 odds on a team that normally wins this event is wild to me. A lot of rookies on both sides, but more on the U.S. side. It's just not. It's a value pick, and if America wins, I don't care about the $10 I lost. Emotional hedge, but also the unbelievable value pick. Would you agree with that, Patty?
Yes, 100%. From a pure value standpoint, you can't take the U.S. You just can't.
And like, just a really fun, there's so many fun props in the Ryder Cup. I love taking point overs for each person. So, like, I'm spoiling a best bet, but one of my favorite bets, I do it every Ryder Cup. I have Tony Finau over 1.5 total points. So that just means in all of the rounds he's going to play, which will probably be 3. That's what, like, the experts are assuming. Finau is only going to play 3 of the 5. But if he wins 2 points, I hit that. Last Ryder Cup, his over and a half was 2.5 because they expected him to play all 5. He only played 4, and he got 3 points. So that was easy dub. The fact that his over-under is 1.5, I love. But it's just that I kind of went on a tangent there. But I love taking the player point total over-unders because even if the United States is shit in the bed, you can still cash on some U.S. success.
Absolutely. And Dirty Mike isn't here for this episode, but he did mentioned that I believe he also likes Europe, and he also sprinkled on a tie at plus 1100 odds.
That was going to be my next point, Pat. And there is a who will hoist the trophy bet, which I didn't understand at first. But if it's a tie, Europe hoists the trophy because we didn't get the trophy back from them. The value is a little worse. So if you want to bet U.S., bet them to hoist the trophy, not to win. You get better value.
That's interesting. See, I didn't know that. But also, I kind of heard this on Hammer Don. But, you know, if you really want the U.S. to win or hoist the trophy, I mean, pretty much either way, it's the same thing, right? Because if they tie, they don't get it. But then parlay that with the top point scorer from each team that you believe. So, for instance, John Rahm for Europe, he's arguably the best golfer in the world right now. He's going to play in every single event. So he's a good pick for total points. And then someone on the U.S. like Justin Thomas, you know, someone who's also going to play every single event, good chance that he leads the team in points. And then you get like over plus 2,000 odds if you parlay all three of those together. So just something to think about.
I would say I agree with that, but I would say make sure you're kind of hosed if they don't play all five rounds. So
correct. Yeah.
I would love to see, you know, maybe take that bet after the pairings are announced, which actually they're being announced right now as we speak. So I'm curious, but, you know, maybe look at the pairings, see like, oh, he's with this guy. He might not play all five rounds. Or like if there's a matchup that doesn't look good tonight, the value will obviously change, but don't bet on someone to be the top point scorer if they're going against the best of the other side.
Right. Yep. That's fair. All right. Is there anything else you want with the Ryder Cup before we move on?
I'm just hoping America wins, man. I'm so sick of this shit. The only Ryder Cup I've like followed and we won was 2016 at Hazeltine. I was a freshman in college. It was absolutely electric. Being there with all my friends and stuff, and I'm getting kind of some of that tomorrow. A lot of my friends are off work tomorrow, having some people come into town. Sunshine will be at my house. Miss you, Sunshine, but I will see him tomorrow. Just really want an American win. I feel like we should win this tournament more than we do. And I hate all the bullshit of like we don't have team chemistry and everyone hates each other. And like, who cares? Just go win golf. That's where I'm at. Just go win.
Maybe we can get Sunshine on tomorrow's pod.
Mm-hmm. Highly doubtful, but if I'm doing it, maybe he'll be on it.
There you go. And Connor, I know you're not a big golf bettor, but I'm pretty sure you said you're all in on America.
I mean, I'm all in on America in general. I'm not too big in golf though.
All right, we'll pencil Connor in for an unofficial Team USA Ryder Cup victory.
I wouldn't bet on it though.
All right, let's move on to the college football slate for this week. There's two top 25 games. Diz, where do you want to start? Notre Dame versus Wisconsin or Texas A&M versus Arkansas?
Notre Dame, Wisconsin, because I have a best bet on it. So go ahead.
Ooh, okay. So Notre Dame versus Wisconsin, like we said, this game is being played at a neutral site. It is in Soldier Field in Chicago. And to me, this one is an intriguing matchup. I am very tempted to bet Wisconsin just out of spite for Notre Dame costing me my parlay last weekend, but I'm not doing it. I do think this game is going to be close, but I don't like Notre Dame and I don't like Wisconsin giving up this many points. So I'm looking at the under here of 46.5. Wisconsin comes in with
kidding me.
What? Do you disagree?
Cut the pod. Get Craig off the mic.
Hey, I control Craig, okay? Now, what's your deal here? I mean, Wisconsin comes in with the number 2 run defense and the number 16 pass defense. And I don't trust Wisconsin's offense. They scored 10 against Penn State. And they also, quite frankly, they lose the turnover margin by 2.2 turnovers to Notre Dame. So I think this could be a sloppy game. I'm going with the under.
It's going to be fun to watch if points are scored. I want to watch this game. I think it's a great matchup. Even if it's gross, even if it is one in the trenches, I could see it. I could see it going over 46.5. 46.5 is such a low number. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw an overtime. Obviously, you can't bank on that. But, you know, that would be a heartbreaker if you took under 46.5 and then two overtimes later they're at 60 points because teams have to score in overtime. So, I don't know. It's a game I'm going to watch. I want to take the over. I think the numbers point in the under's favor, but I don't want to bet an under on a game that I'm going to watch. I'm taking the over 46.5.
So it's essentially just a spite pick, right? Because you're going to be watching this game and you don't want an under to happen.
Correct.
Okay, that's fair. I can live with that. That means you don't necessarily disagree with the under, but also...
I always disagree with unders.
Okay. Wisconsin, last I checked, Wisconsin was like 5.5-point favorites, right, Diz?
Yeah.
So, a little tidbit, and I found this out when I was doing research this weekend. If it does go into overtime, you better hope that you took Notre Dame and the points, because this year, where it changes is in the first, I think the first, maybe second overtime, you have to go for two, where it used to be in the third overtime, you have to go for two. But if it reaches three overtimes, they move to 2-point conversions only, just one play for each team, and it's only a 2-point conversion. So if you picked a team, if you had Wisconsin minus 5.5 and it goes into triple overtime, you're guaranteed to lose.
So that's a great call. What do you think about that rule, Patty?
I don't know, man. The reason they did it makes sense. They're doing it because, you know, these players just played a full game. And if you go into like seven overtimes when you're doing drives after drives after drives, it can get really taxing on athletes. But I don't know. I haven't seen too many overtime games this year yet. So I think I'll have to wait and see. Like, maybe if this one goes into triple or quadruple overtime, maybe it's still electric because you're just doing 2-point conversions and one bad play can cost you the game. Or maybe not. Maybe it's bad. I don't know. But we will see.
My only take here was, wasn't the old rule like after a certain amount of overtimes, they made you go for two, but you still had to play, you still had to get a touchdown first?
Correct. So the old rule was once you
hit... Did that not work? I thought that worked so well.
Well, it did, but the problem was is every team was still going back and forth, and so you were getting 7-8 overtimes deep, and your offense and defense didn't have much time to rest, and you're just going out there, you know, drive after drive. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy.
As a fan, I'm going to miss it. That's all I have to say.
Yep. But... anyways, moving on. So this next game, Diz, Texas A&M versus Arkansas. This one is also at a neutral site. This one is in Jerry World. So in my opinion, Texas A&M has not looked great, while Arkansas has. But let's see if the stats back that up. So both teams have great pass defenses. However, it appears Arkansas is a run-first offense. And A&M actually struggles stopping the run. And Arkansas wins the turnover margin battle by 1.7 turnovers. So I'm going to be taking Arkansas with the points, 5.5, and also Arkansas money line. What do you got on this one, Diz?
I'm staying away, but I love that you're taking that. Truly don't know. Texas A&M's kind of sussing me out, so I wanted to stay away because I could see them absolutely popping. I don't think that will happen, but there wasn't enough for me to sway either way, so I stayed away. But I respect the balls on you, Bub.
Hey, if nothing else, you can say I got those balls.
Stones.
All right, let's move on to the portion that Connor's been waiting for very patiently, the daily fantasy lineup. Connor, do you want to go ahead and grace us with your daily fantasy lineup for tonight?
Oh boy, is it my turn?
It is.
Wait, waiting all day for this. That's right. All right, so I did look at your notes to see who you have, but I'm not going to ruin who you have. I have, for my MVP, I have Christian McCaffrey, who I believe a lot of people are going to have as their MVP. It's kind of hard to pick Sam Darnold over him, especially since you still don't know how much it's Sam Darnold versus all the weapons that they have in Carolina. So I'm sticking with Christian McCaffrey as my MVP. Next, I went with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. So I'm still sticking with Carolina. Like I said, they have all the weapons in this game. And then I was running a little short on money, so I ended up going with Brandon Zylstra.
Okay.
As well as Mark Ingram from, which team is that, the Texans?
Yep.
Sorry, I was all Carolina and forgot who they were playing.
It's all good.
Yeah. Only one Houston player. No quarterbacks. Sticking with McCaffrey is the guy. And I wasn't sure who's going to be fed the ball as a receiver, so I went with three of them.
There you go. I don't hate it at all. Diz, did you have a daily fantasy lineup for today?
I do.
Let us hear it.
I got McCaffrey as an MVP, and I think Connor nailed it. But also, just from a different perspective, if you don't put McCaffrey as your MVP, you could see that as a competitive advantage. I see it as a competitive disadvantage. Of the 20 people that are in my 50-50 pool, I bet like two people don't have McCaffrey as their MVP to try to get an advantage. Count them out. They're done. Rule them out. I'm playing 18 people. That's how I see it. McCaffrey's a lock at MVP. Don't overthink it. I got Darnold as well. I got Robbie Anderson. He's kind of touchdown or bust, so I'm kind of worried about that. But I wanted a Carolina receiver, and DJ Moore costed too much money. So I went with Robbie Anderson. I got Joey Sly, automatic points, kicker, lock it in. And then David Johnson for Houston. I was low on funds. He had a surprisingly low dollar amount. So I picked up David Johnson. So those are my five. Feeling good. I'm 2 for 2 on daily fantasies. Granted, I am doing the 50-50s. So I just got to come in the top 10 out of my pool of 20. But you don't have to outrun the bear. You just got to outrun 10 other people.
Nice. Love it. All right. So for my daily fantasy lineup, I mean, of course, I went MVP Christian McCaffrey. No brainer here. We're all paying the premium for it, but, you know, it is what it is. And then I actually went Sam Darnold. I don't think either of you boys went Sam Darnold.
At Darnold.
Okay. Okay. I thought for the longest time, especially going up against the Texans here with Davis Mills at quarterback. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I thought maybe this was a chance where I wouldn't have a quarterback in my lineup, but I just couldn't do it. So I went Sam Darnold, and then I went Brandon Cooks. So Cooks has been a fantasy stud this year. Currently has the 11th most fantasy points for a wide receiver. He will obviously probably take a major hit with Tyrod Taylor being out, but I still think the Panthers may be up big and the Texans will have to pass. And with Cooks being the number one in Houston, I think he could see a lot of targets. And then I'm with Diz here. I went Joey Sly, kicker, automatic points. I also spent a ton of money with my first three picks, so my selection kind of significantly went down, and he is the cheaper of the two kickers. But, Diz, you did not mention this. This is a revenge game for Joey Sly. He actually played for the Panthers the past 2 years. So I love that he's going to go up against his former team and he's going to try to kill it. And then I also think Houston might struggle to score. So even if Houston does move the ball, I don't know that they will score touchdowns. So I'm taking the kicker there. And then my long shot here is Anthony Miller. I have this labeled as my long shot for even long shots. He is one of Houston's wide receivers. He was a healthy scratch in the first two games of the season, but he did dislocate his shoulder in the preseason, so that might be why they held him out even though he got medically cleared. But Danny Amendola is out for the Texans, so I would think that that moves Anthony Miller into the three wide receiver slot. And I do think, again, that Houston could be down a lot, and so they could have to pass. So I'm going with Anthony Miller.
I'm not going to lie to you. I saw Joey Sly's picture on FanDuel and thought he was still on the Panthers because he's still in his Panthers uniform. Are we sure he's on the Texans?
100%.
What happened to my boy Young Wei Koo?
He was on the Falcons, and he is still on the Falcons.
Oof.
So
not good for the brand that I didn't know anything.
Not your best effort there, but that's okay. All right. Now, we will Well, let's just go ahead and talk about it now. Do we want to talk about the game right now?
See, why not, baby?
I think a lot of people are going Panthers minus 7.5. Does anyone disagree?
No, I do not.
A lot of points. It's a lot of points.
7.5 is a lot of points. You know, you obviously would prefer it to be at 6.5 so you get under that touchdown mark. And actually, I saw a stat today that, like, the Panthers are 2-9 in their last 11 Thursday night football games. Would that be enough to sway you to take the Texans?
Not if Tyrod Taylor's out.
Yeah.
Fair. Very fair. No, maybe Davis Mills shows up and balls out. No one has any film on this guy. I think he's a rookie.
That Panthers defense is way too good for any new quarterback to be coming in and trying to dominate them, I think.
Yeah, true. That's very fair. There's also talks of them running a Heisman package this week. So having all three running backs, so you have Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, and David Johnson in the backfield at the same time and just running a run play.
Honestly, I figured that's what they were going to do to begin with. So when you started mentioning Brandon Cooks, I'm like, well, it's a good thing they have three studs at running back because I think they're going to be running the ball all game just about.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, it definitely could.
I know is the last guy named Davis who tried to win in Carolina was Confederate President Jefferson Davis, and he got his ass stomped. So I'm rolling with the Panthers.
Thanks for that history lesson, Diz. Yep. Shout out history, America, right?
History with Diz. History with Diz. Go Union, baby.
Okay. But
I don't think you'll find anyone taking the other side on that one, Diz. I would hope
that's
not.
You might be surprised if you're you get down here in Danklin, people might be going for the Confederate. I'm not sure. But fast forward, that is one of my best bets is Panthers minus 7.5. Alright. Let's review best bets for Monday. I went 1-2. The over I had for Monday Night Football was the one that hit. Diz, how'd your best bets do?
1-0.
Because you just had the over, right?
I just had the over, yep.
Very nice. So in the best bets competition for this month, which it is rapidly approaching the end of the month, I am down 1.8 units and Diz is down 3.92 units. So he's closing the gap.
That ass.
So let's get into the best bets tonight. I already told you one of them. I like Panthers minus 7.5. My next bet, I actually also have in the NFL. I'm going Panthers Texans under 43. So I'm not sure how many points the Texans can score tonight. I mean, let's just be honest. The total has gone under in Carolina's last five games, and the total has gone under in four of the last five times these teams have faced each other. And so that means even with Deshaun Watson and the Texans teams have passed, these two teams play it typically is an under. I think this game could be a Thursday night stinker. I think the final score could be somewhere like 21-10 Panthers. So I'm going under 43.
43 is so low, dude.
You want to know what the over-under for total points is for the Texans in this game?
I bet it's 9.5.
16.5.
Okay. I was a little dramatic there, but still.
Yeah, it's 7.5 for the first half, Diz.
Oof.
So clearly nobody thinks the Texans can score. So I'm feeling pretty good about the under 43 here. And then my final best bet of the night, I'm going to college football. There is one game that is happening tonight. I'm going Appalachian State minus 7.5 versus Marshall. Marshall is actually the better passing team. But App State is the better running team, and App State has a 1.5 better turnover margin. And with Marshall passing the ball a bunch, I think there's more opportunities to turn the ball over. So And it's also at Appalachian State, so it's home field advantage there a little bit. Appalachian State has also played a tougher schedule, so I'm going App State and the points. Give me -7.5.
Big spread there, Bubby.
Hey, I'm all about the 7.5 tonight, apparently. All right, Diz, what do you got for your best bets for tonight?
Well, two that we're going to find out on Sunday. But Europe +215, Tony Finau over 1.5 total points. And then I have the Notre Dame Wisconsin over 46.5.
Nice. Love it.
I already talked about all three, so I don't really have anything new to add.
Okay, good deal. Connor, you got any bets going tonight?
I think just one, along with your Panthers -7.5. I'm going to go with Bobby Anderson's going to get a touchdown tonight.
Let's go. Big Bob Anderson.
What's I'm not value? Going two touchdowns like last week. It's +200.
Sheesh. Pretty good. That's pretty good value. All right, boys. Today I got you a Hail Mary same game parlay of the day. This one is $10 to win 1,116, okay? Now, first off, you can get a risk-free same game parlay right now on FanDuel. Make sure you opt in and make sure your odds are +400 or worse, and it's 3+ legs, and you're not using bonus funds. Once you do that, you can follow me on the same game parlay road, and we will cash out together, okay? So I got Brandon Cooks, anytime touchdown scorer. Brandon Cooks, over 67.5 receiving yards. Bobby Anderson, over 45.5 receiving yards. Christian McCaffrey, anytime touchdown scorer. Panthers, -7.5, and then under 43.5. So right there, $10 for 1,116. I would think the one that probably caused that to lose would be the Brandon Cooks anytime touchdown scorer. Does anyone disagree?
I do think that'll be the roughest one to get. I don't know how well their passing game is going to be.
Right,
the
exactly.
Highest value.
I don't know. When you do a same game parlay on FanDuel, they don't tell you the when you're looking at it after the fact. They don't tell you the value of each. But I guess I could go look real quick.
You didn't even look at it when you made the bet. You just full send.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I'm a Brandon Cooks guy. So Brandon Cooks, anytime touchdown scorer is +200. So he's right there with Bobby Anderson. I would like to see a Heisman package with all three running backs on the goal line, but then you have Brandon Cooks lining up wide, and they do like a some little weird toss play, but then they just throw it to Brandon Cooks. I might be reaching a bit for that, but I like it.
I've got to say, I did take that same game parlay. I almost forgot about it. Mine was more along the lines of what the public had.
Okay.
So I have DJ Moore anytime touchdown scorer.
Yep.
I took the over in the points, 43.5.
Ooh, boo. Come on.
I think there's going to be some picks in this game, and the defense is going to have some points for Carolina as well.
Ooh.
And then third, I have Carolina Panthers at 14+ points winning margin.
14+? Oh, boy. You're really
two touchdowns.
Okay.
And
okay.
I have +659 odds. So $10 risk-free bet to win $75.
Nice. Love it. Also, Connor, if you're wondering, Carolina's D/special teams score, anytime touchdown score, +500.
Ooh.
So if you're feeling real crazy, I mean, that seems like the one.
I think they will turn the ball over. I'm just not sure it'll be for six right away.
Right. That's the tough part, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Anything you boys need to get off your chest before we call today?
One thing. So last week I said two touchdowns, Aaron Jones.
Yep.
And I need to apologize because I went two touchdowns and three touchdowns with Aaron Jones and hit both of them, as well as four other bets that night. They all hit. They were my only bets. And I got second out of 100 for my 50-50 daily fantasy. I did not expect it to go that well. I did not say all of my bets on the pod because I wasn't too sure, especially with 3 touchdowns for Aaron Jones.
Yep.
Because of that, I lost fantasy. So great work, Connor. Proud
of you. But I just want to make a point here, and this is what's tough about doing this, right? If we give out every single pick that we make, then, you know, there's a high probability you won't hit all of those. We usually just give out like our best bets that we would be willing to share with you guys, right? I mean, if you just put every pick out there, then you're just basically like shooting at random targets.
Right.
What we give on the pod is typically what we feel most comfortable sharing with the people. But maybe people want us to give every single bet out that we take. I don't know.
A lot more accountability that way.
True. True. Diz, what's your thought on the whole thing?
I think I think where we are is perfect. And if they want to see all of our bets, add us on Chalkboard, baby. You can see all my bets on Chalkboard. Yeah, I mean,
that's a very good point.
If you guys want to see all of our bets, you know how to find them. We're just presenting the ones that are going to hit as I'm 4 units down in the month of September. But, hey, we only talk about the ones we think are going to hit.
That's right. That's a good point. You can follow us on Chalkboard. We have individual accounts. We also have a group chat. So if you want to check out the Sports Betting by Dummies group chat, you can check it out on Twitter. I tweet it at some point, or just tweet at me and I'll add you guys to it. And you can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at SportsBetByDum. So, and also, Diz, I don't know if you saw, but the Cardinals have won. They beat the Brewers again today. I believe the Cardinals have now won 12 straight.
That is correct.
And today they gave up a grand slam in the first inning and ended up winning 8-5.
That's insane.
The Brewers are very lucky that we didn't get hot a week earlier because we can't actually win the NL Central. But if we would have started a week earlier, we probably would have won the NL Central. So it is what it is. We're coming into the postseason looking like the hottest team in baseball. So let's go Redbirds.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. We will be having a Football Friday episode tomorrow. It should be a loaded pod. As always, we'll give out our NFL picks. So enjoy Thursday night football tonight. Enjoy Thursday night college football. And we will see you all tomorrow.